Nice shorts.
Yeah.
Howdy, hey, and welcome to Nice Shorts.
我是杨富。
我是 Nitali Johnny。
这个节目中，我们采访动画师以及他们的短片作品。
Wow, well said, Fu. This is a show about animation shorts and their creators.
We are sneaking in some Mandarin because on this episode, we have Yu Yu.
Woohoo! Yu Yu is a stop-motion animator from Taiwan.
And when we recorded this, she was already living in tomorrow.
Oh, you'll get to hear us interview an animator from the future.
Yu Yu got her MFA for animation from USC. Very nice.
Her resume includes Netflix, Blizzard, and commercial work.
At the end of 2018, Yu Yu returned to Taiwan and founded Shadow Step Studio, where she continues making incredible stop-motion projects.
One of which is her newest film, The Island of Us, and we even get some sneak peeks.
Plus, she tells us about Ghost Month and how much she wants to make a stop-motion horror film.
Ooh, so stick around and meet our friend Yu Yu while she shares cool stuff with us all.
节目正式开始。
Today, we'll be very excited to discuss and to get to know more about Yu Yu's latest work, her personal project, and that is called The Island of Us, right?
Yes.Hi, Fu. Hi, Johnny.
Hi.
Yeah, would you like to share, like, what's the inspiration or the story of The Island of Us?
Because, like, if you watch my work from before, it's not too many, but it's, like,
It's a little bit...
it's, like, a little bit dark science fiction films.And this is the film, the stories I like. But right now, it's like, there's lots of things happening around the world, and I want to do something cute. Something like a fluffy puppet. And I never really, like, do, like, the abstract or fantasy monsters, which is I always want to. And so I want to make the weird world, and then just like monsters or creatures live in it, and they do their own things. So this is kind of the concept of The Island of Us. And I want to really try something like abstract animation do, because I always admire the artists that can just let their mind flow. It's not really exactly the storyline.But at the end, my story still has a storyline, and it's like specific goal. But I think I tried, and I really like the look of the film, but it's like really different from what I was doing before. Yeah, so this is why I want to make this film. I think I started to work on that in 2020, maybe February.Because the deadline of the Fiducia Founding to apply is 2020 May. So I just like started 3 months before so I can make my puppet and finish my story, like a page book. I want to get a Bible done before the applied deadline, so I started a little bit. But it's like a long wait till they tell me I actually get it. So after May till...maybe November, when they actually tell me I got the money. Yeah, it's a long time. So I go back to taking other people's projects.
I heard that you are learning like media or for TV production. Is that correct?
Yes, it's like a community program and it's called television and radio.
Oh, television and radio.
Yeah, the major is like television and radio. But at first, in my undergrads, I was the philosophy major.
Oh, wow!
And I transferred to television and radio, and I minor back to philosophy. It's like I could just minor television and radio, but if I do that, it would be hard for me to choose their classes.So I just transfer there and then major back the philosophy. So it's just a strategy. So I have to major in my undergrad. Yeah, I think philosophy the brainstorming is helping me a lot. We have like a lot of stupid debate. It's like what it would be, but I think it's the science fictions, how they come from, right?
Can I hear what some of the stupid debates are?
It was like, because we were deep, the class is like open, the debate class is like open to all majors. So it's not like everyone is so logical. So we sometimes debate with the news majors and they just asking stupid questions. It was like, we were debating like some kind of serious topic, like the abortion. So the first thing that it matters is that we talk about what is life, right? So what make you think is killing a life? If we just find out, like, maybe we have just conceived a baby for 2 weeks, there's not a life there yet, but we know it will be. So we can just take medicine or something, so it's like a soft abortion. So are you okay with that? And it will say yes at first, but at the end, they're just like, no again, for some reason. That would be like a dead circle.
So they just get mad and then just defend whatever they want.
Yes.
That sounds about right. Sounds about normal. Does that help prepare you for production on stop motion films? Is the puppet alive yet?
Not exactly, but story-wise, yes.
Do you sneak a lot of philosophy stuff into your stories? Like concepts?
I kind of hope so, but I'm not like the student, like a really hard-working student on philosophy. Because double major is a lot. It's a little bit warmer, overwhelmed, so I just draw my storyboard in philosophy class. Yeah, I'm not a straight-A student on philosophy, but I think because my husband, he's a sport philosophy major, and he also do the master in philosophy. So he helped me a lot because we were talk about the stories together, like all of us. Yeah. So we just like talk about what if first, and then I would keep developing it. So I think, I guess it helped a lot.
Now I know the story is a little bit like the philosophy kind of thing. Do you feel that for the TV production or the radio, is there any aspect that will affect you to make your film? Is that something you learn from them and then it's so benefit?
Yeah, our apartment, they call the television and radio, but actually it's like two parts. You can just focus on television or the other people focus on radio. So I met my sound designer, the sound director from my major. So I'm still working with her right now. And I think the television thing is like the intro to all the techniques to the film. We have like how to draw storyboards, how to tell a story, how to use camera, how to do the lighting. And I find, I really like those, like really, I think it's, for me, it's like real camera, it's like real lighting, and to take a picture of the real things. So I didn't really learn anything stop motion there, but I think they let me know, like, I like the physical camera, like real there, and I really like doing different lighting. But I have the difficulty to talk to the real person, like as the actors. I really don't like to tell actors how to act because I think they must be know more than I do. So I'm a really bad director in live action.
You're too modest.
Your lighting is incredible. I was looking at your demo reel and there was, all of it, to be honest. It was something you did for a museum where it's like transparent paper with lighting behind it. But then I realized everything you make in all of your films, you do the texture in such a way that it interacts with the light no matter what you're working on.
Yeah, it's fun.
That started with Daisy. So Daisy was 2018. The other works were 2019. Is that, did you work on your lighting in 2018? Is that when the radio thing happened in TV?
I think I was always trying to do that because I started USC in 2015. So the television thing is from, actually it's 2013 because I graduated in 2013 and I worked in the children TV show for 2 years before I went to the master major, before I decided to go to the master. Yeah, because I'm not really learning anything there.
Yeah. So you worked on kids show for 2 years and you're like, I'm going back to school.
Yeah, because the kids show is like a super light, bright light, and it's clean and it's like colorful, and then they like that only. And I'm the only animation director in my small company. I think I would call it a studio because only 5 people there.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
And you're like, no, I want to watch robots kill each other. I'm going to go back and make my own film.
Yeah, I think it's because I'm working on a children's show for 2 years. That's why my works are so dark when I go back to school. I think I get enough of that.
And now you're balancing it out with The Island of Us.
Yeah, and I think the lighting thing is always the thing I want to try. Yeah, but I think I can make it like more and more interesting right now.
Mm-hmm.
And the museum thing is because they want it to look like the shadow puppet. And the shadow puppet is actually behind the fabric, right? But they want it to look clear, so I kind of make the fake shadow puppet. Because it's just layers, and then the fabric is behind the puppet. So it's not, doesn't really make sense, but they like the look. Yeah, so it's like a mythology story about their Indian stories. Yeah, so I make that, and I haven't seen the whole thing yet. Because it's been 2 years. I know. It's like all the project I've made, I haven't seen it yet. And then they always tell me that I cannot reveal it yet. So it's like, okay.
Wow. And you just move on to do another amazing work. Keep going, keep going. One day you'll be able to see them.
Yeah. Yeah, I hope so.
Just pretend it's on a festival circuit and it's out there somewhere. Someone's watching it.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. As directing The Island of Us, how do you, especially for sound, because before I hear you say you want to have some experiment for your audio. So how do you communicate how to let your designer to know your goal?
I think the plan we have right now is like a different species. They will have like different instruments.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like some of them is horn or flute. And some use drums. So it's like you can tell like they are different different creature from different instruments. And also I would let the musicians to experiment that a little bit. It's like I would let them see the film a little bit, and then let them know the creature now is like crying, or they are mad, or they are like communicate each other. Because I don't want them to have like specific lines, because I think they will be like,
that's so cool.
They I wanted to explore their imagination first, and if they still don't know what I mean, I will tell them what the off screen line is, like it's like an OS, and I will tell them what they're exactly thinking. I will make up the lines for them. Yeah.
Are you doing the music like an ADR session?
I think, yes. I think that some of them, it will be ADR, and some of them is like a physically recording, like face-to-face. But we're still like booking time for that.
So so you're kind of going for like a general, like a bed of music to build on, like a, not a pad, but something that's foundational. And then you're going to have the musicians come in and improvise the parts as they're doing actual ADR to get like a kind of Sims interaction thing going. That is amazing. I love
that. It's a little bit like doing the folding. You can see the film, right?
Yeah.
So it's like they are doing they're just watching the mute weird creature crying or something, and then doing the.
That's so cool, though. That's amazing. So, but instead of stepping on gravel, they're just gonna blow into a flute.
Yeah.
Yeah. That is so cool, Yu-Yu. I can't wait to see that.
Thank you, me too.
Oh my god. Because you didn't tell me that last time, and that is just, I mean, I didn't have to, but that is just so cool. That sounds like so much fun.
We haven't, like, have the conclusion last time, but I think the 2 weeks before, I talked to my sound designer, and that's what we want to do. And if they were thinking it's, like, more abstract, not more abstract, it's, like, make it more, like, what the director will want.
That's something that happens in scoring, kind of not exactly the way you're doing it, but like it's comic to put the little ad lib section in or to give the directions, and they kind of just know like, okay, do this. But doing it your way with the Foley style thing is just so fun. It's no click tracks, no worries about tuning. It's just kind of going with it. That's going to give you just results you wouldn't be able to get any other way, and that's going to be incredible. I'm excited for you.
Yeah, it would be lots of fun, I think.
Yeah. Your musicians, they'll be terrified, but you're going to have fun.
Yeah, I know. I don't want to be like, because I always heard that a good director shouldn't use lots of adjective words, like be happy, be sad.
Oh.
It's like, except what does that mean? But I think it's the things I would do. Because I cannot, like, really describing the sounds I want. I can only, like, say it's happier, it's sadder. So I'm still, I think I will do some research for that, too.
How to describe, like, for the audio?
Yeah, for the emotion.
There are lots of great extended technique sites and videos and references online, too.
Yeah.
I'll share some with you after, but there are lots of great places to go where you can hear the performers doing all this stuff, and it gives you ideas like, oh, that's a cool sound. And then when you work with them, one of the best things about musicians, they know that, like how you said with actors, right? They know how to act.
Yeah.
The musicians know how to play their instruments. So if you talk to them and just back and forth and ask them stuff, they'll usually have some ideas of their own of sounds they know how to create or want to create. And you're going to get, if you let a musician do their thing and work with them, you're going to get just incredible results.
Thank you, Johnny.
Yeah, thank you. It's like what Eating told me. She's my sound designer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Please film it. Are you going to film you should please document that. Like that would.
I think if they are okay, I will. Yeah. Okay. Because some musicians don't want a camera to look at them, right?
I don't know. There's not a lot of musicians I met that didn't want to be front and center on a stage. But I hope if you can document it, that would be amazing to watch.
Yeah, I think I will. I will have a GoPro or something like around us.
Wow, that would be nice. Yeah.
That'd be awesome. Is your stage made out of what's the texture on the ground? Is it like a yarn kind of fabric you did for the whole ground?
I think it's the whole ground is like a half yarn, half fabric. So some of them are like, we just make the yarn, like we just wrap the yarn on the cardboard, and then we just cut it and then flip it. So it looks like the grass growing up.
Wow.
I think Boo know what am I talking about.
So far, what I all feel like from your Instagram promoting, they are so comforting and so warm. And just made me feel chill. Is that the purpose? Like, how do you choose your material in this short?
Yeah, like this one, I was purposely wanted to choose something that looks soft. And I like the color. There's like a pastel color so far. Mm-hmm. It's like fogging, fogging world, and they are like soft creature, but they do crazy stuff sometimes. It's like at the end, it's still a little bit dark, but it's like I.
So even your happy one ends dark. I like that.
Yeah, it's like cute creatures doing dark things. So it's like what the world is for me. It's like it looks beautiful, and the dark things, that we think they are dark because they are human watching it. Mm. But if we are not here, they are just creatures doing things.
Is that philosophy?
Sounds like...
I think too much sometimes.
So without an observer, the actions just are the actions.
Yeah, and I just like they kind of doing the same mistakes like over and over again, but there's their way to show love to each other, which is creepy sometimes. Yeah, there's like this specific creatures will. Like the bird one. The bird only have one eye, right? So
yeah.
There's a bird man. I didn't show the bird man yet, but there will be a bird man. He's human, but he wants to join the birds, but he have two eyes. So all the birds like creeps out and like run away from him. So he had to pull one of his eyes out to join them.
Oh my!
That's awesome. I
It's like... it's like the first layer of the story, and then it would go on and then meet other weird creatures, and they're doing their things.
The creatures, they all look so unique. So you design them is with some kind of purpose for the story, is that?
Yes. I think the bird with long legs and one eye is like for... Because it would be fun to, like, for the human, like, he just, like, stand up with a really tall stick and then have the fake bird mouth and then have, like, a dress up like a bird, too. Yeah, so I kind of want that look. And then I would just, like, that's why the bird looks like that, because it's really weird and... different looking that for the people who want to disguise it. And the other creatures is like, I have a puppy here. Yeah. Like this guy?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I was going to ask about this one because it's massive.
Yeah, because this one is big because it will eat others. When they eat other puppet, it will grow bigger and bigger, and it's the largest one. So all the puppet get fit in his mouth.
Oh, wow. Is that inside wire?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's wire from the lips here, not from inside. So you can open it. There's wire a little bit up here too. See, the funny thing is, like, when I tell the animators what this monster about, they just make a smile sometimes. Because a chain got wire, so you can just move it up a little bit too. But it's like the thing is, like, because it is like the. Because it pokes so much, so there's a little bit hard. When you get it back up, it'll be a little bit hard to get it back down.
Yeah.
How many stages do you have going for this?
Oh, I have only one because the budget and we have like the budget for only one stage, but we have like take turns.
Okay. Because when you're doing that scale, you just have to clear a stage and just do a new one.
You mean for...
How many scales are you working at? Is that just all the same scale?
Oh, actually, the scales for my main character, the blue girl.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know how to call her. I actually have like a really small one, like tiny one. I showed it on Downshooter when I wanted it to be far away.
Yeah,
okay. So it's like a small one and the normal size.
Bigger scale, yeah.
Yeah. So I can make it look like it's far away, but I actually just do it on the demonstrator and it's a really small set. So I don't have to worry about like I have a big stage for that.
So when you're working on the other stuff, are you leaving that stage intact and then going to other studios to work on the other projects? Or are you striking your stage and then rebuilding it each time?
I think I just rebuild it every time. Because the ground is fabric and everything is like nailed down on a big chunk of styrofoam, so it's like easy to change.
Okay.
Mm. Yeah, it's like easier to like redo the whole set. It's cheaper. Yeah, to do the whole set. And that's so nice. I have to. Yeah, the production manager is like really hard because. Because we have to make sure that we finished it. And then we will tear everything down and then go to the other, another set.
Production, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
I wonder, how do you feel so far about the technique of needle felting? Like, how does it work out? And do you have, because I haven't really tried for that too. So do you have any advice for us, for the beginners, to how to do that in puppet? Like, some ideas for that?
Actually, it's not hard. Just keep poking. And it's like,
keep poking.
Yeah, and I think so. Because this guy will lose his hand, so I just poke it back. And there's a cheaper way to do that is like inside him, because he's a big puppet, right? So he's like a lot of like just cottons. So there's like cottons inside, and you can pull cottons too. Cottons are always cheaper. So you can poke the pot cottons and then make it like looks like the shape you want, and then you put the yarn. And actually, you put the
needle felting.
You just put a felt just on the surface, because a felt sometimes is very expensive. So when you make sure the shape is what you want, you can just put a felt after that.
Do you have to build it, keeping in mind that you might? So it's all wire, right? So are you building it?
Yeah, all wires.
Yeah. Are you keeping in mind, like, are you building it knowing you can detach the arms quickly or anything? Or, like, if you broke an arm, what would you have to do to fix it?
Oh, it's like, I do like the armature things that I learned from Stupid Buddy.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's armature? It's not wire?
Oh, it's like a wire armature, but like tie it in a certain way. It's like so many thin wire like go tube? Together and make a hole. Not tube. It's like so many like thin wire go together instead of one chunk of big wire. So when it broke like one or two a little bit, and it still take together. They still hold together, so it's not like too easy to break.
So it's like a bunch of thin gauge wires taped together.
I will use thread to thread together.
Okay.
Yeah, because tape will be too flexible.
That's cool. So you could lose. So there's several in there. So you could lose quite a few and be okay.
Yeah. So it's like
that's awesome.
I think wires. If you do the wire like that, it will be okay for like a 20-minute film. But over that, you need another one. Yeah. I don't think I break any puppet in this one.
I break him on purpose.
Because I finished all the shooting right now. And they are all okay.
Wait, and all the shooting's done?
Yeah, all the shooting's done. I'm just waiting for the sounds and music.
I see it so bad.
Amazing, yeah. From what you say about the thinner wire and the thread, what I can imagine is like a tissue of the real human anatomy. I don't know, my brain just have that like thin tissue, and it's easier to recover or easier to connect new tissue with that. Yeah, it's cool. Now you are doing the process of the editing, the music thing. I wonder, what is your plan for you to releasing or promote your film?
I think I really want to try some European Euro festivals because I never really get into one. Again, see something, and I really want to go there and see. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I do. I would do all the festival first. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I heard because we have like one successful artist, he released his film in the theater, and it's a short. So I think, oh, that's cool. So I think I would do that. Maybe 2 years, because first year is for festivals, right? So maybe the next year we'll do the theater thing. And if they go well, I think I would have some like puppet, not puppets, like dolls or something coming up. Yeah, for what I look. But it would be hard because I want it to be still looks like filled, but it's hard to make a lot of small ones look the same. So I'm still thinking about it.
You could start a company that's just production of felt puppets.
Just keep poking the same puppet.
That would be the name. It'd be Pokemon. Pokemon Productions, and it's just felt puppets for all your felt puppet needs. We'll stab ourselves, so you don't have to.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'd be like it'll be too expensive to sell them.
No, it's all handmade, right? It's time consuming.
Yeah, so it's like, you cannot do the 3D printing or something. So, yeah, I'm still talking about my puppet designer. And I think he thinks the 3D printing one will work, but it cannot have the fluffy texture anymore. Mm. Yeah, so cannot. It looks like the feature,
the minifigure that.
Yeah, minifigure only.
Oh yeah. Wow! So yeah, this is still during discussion to see what.
Yeah.
It also depends on the pandemic, right? And also the theater.
And I hope people react on them. Maybe they will think they are too creepy. They don't want one at home.
I want one.
Yeah, I want
that.
I want the main character, the little blue girl. That thing is.
Oh, yeah.
She looks so rad. I want you to give me a free $500 puppet, please. But it looks incredible. That puppet is one of the favorite puppets I've seen in a long time. Like the little wood face kind of look, and it just looks so cool. It brings back a. Every era of nostalgia I could possibly have in one look.
The shit looks like not really original for me right now. Because I kept researching something about similar to hers. I see lots of puppets looks like that. Not puppets, lots of dolls looks like that, what they sign.
Well.
Yeah. I don't know.
I mean, I still feel it's original because it totally fits to your story. Like, that's why she exists. I don't know.
I think she looks amazing. And even if she has like a almost identical twin somewhere in the world, it doesn't matter. Each person is unique. She is special. And whether she's a fluffy design or a non-fluffy design doll at the end, she's still cool.
Thank you.
This short got a grant from Taiwanese government, is that?
Yes, it's got a financial funding of our culture developing department. But yeah, you have to be Taiwanese to apply it.
Oh, yeah. And then mainly it's for like use film to cultivate the film industry or you tell a story about some Taiwanese spirits into your film, something like that?
I think if you have that, it will be easier for you to get it. But I think for animation, they are not too strict for that. Yeah, so I think it's for like live action. Yeah, but actually right now, people want it to be more, like the content to be more variety, like not just for local, not just always for our temple anymore. Mm-hmm, it's like everyone have their traditional temple in it, and it's like Buddhism, and actually it's not Buddha, it's Tao, right? Different religions. Yeah, so because I do have another story, as especially for Taiwanese spirit, but it's kind of not that interesting for me, so I pitched this one and it got in. So I think they are changing their goals right now. They just want like good content, not especially for like Taiwan. You can see what is Taiwanese culture. Mm. Because it is hard too, because Taiwan is the place that have everything, right? We allow to have like anything in it. And it's like influenced by so many cultures. So it's like we have there and here a lot. Like we have lots of things, but you can always see those things from other countries too. So it's like it's really hard to say what is the specific things we have. People always talking about food. It's like, okay, stop talking about boba or something. Yeah, I think I just give up talking about that. In this,
it's
one.
Really hard to capture. Yeah, but in your heart, do you still feel like somehow you can express something about Taiwanese culture, or you prefer to be more broader, like let's talk about all the humanity instead, all the philosophy? We don't need to just focus on one thing, maybe, like for you, what you want to create.
It's like it will not be my next project, but I always want to do all the urban legends in Taiwan. Because I like ghost stories. I like ghost horror stories. And I think behind those stories is very interesting, because it is what people are afraid of at that time, at that certain time. It's like 80s, 90s, they have like different urban story, different monster from that area. So I think it would be interesting for me to do that. But it's like, because I really like the short horror films, and then be like 2 or 3 minutes, and it will be like you tell the story and that's in the end of that. But it will be every 2 or 3 minutes film will be different character and different sets. It will be like too much work.
You need a team.
Yeah, I need a team for that, and I need to pitch that somewhere, and I don't know where yet, because it will be too short. Yeah,
I want to help you get that made, because you doing horror films, you doing something that is decidedly supposed to be kind of dark and eerie would be amazing.
I'm looking forward to that.
Because some of them is like a little bit like Japanese feeling, because we were colonized by Japan for a long time for Taiwan. Mm-hmm. So some of them is like really original. It's like really interesting monsters. I think Fu will know. It's a raincoat guys. It's like they always show up in 3 people and they have yellow raincoats.
What? You know? I don't know that one.
And it was...
please tell me more.
And you will see them in the mountains, like high mountains, when you get lost. And because we rain a lot, so it's not weird for people just to have raincoats on. And you're lost, so you will naturally follow whatever you see. It looks like people, and you'll follow them, and they will leave you to the cliff or something. It's a trap.
So it's like the song of the sirens of the sea, but with rain instead of the ocean. But like there's three things in raincoats that just make you walk off a cliff. I love it.
Yeah, it's like a really...
I love it. You get it. Like, you could even do a live action puppet. You just push it off the edge.
Yeah, it's like far away.
Yeah. Just like, let's go. Wow. And then just perfect.
Clip it down.
Yeah. And you can make a whole production line of non-fuzzy ones to sell to people. You could just sell yellow raincoats and make so much money for it.
I think it's really fun to watch all the stories like that. I think it needs lots of research because I want to make a creepy short one, but then maybe I will have a podcast shows that I will cooperate and they will say what is behind the story.
Oh, PBS Digital does it. It's I think it's Monstrumps or something like that.
Monstrumps.
But she does shorts and they usually have like some kind of After Effects animation behind her. And it's like these kind of stories and monsters from all over the world. It's incredible.
Wow.
You pitch this to her. They will give you money. You make them. Let's get you to make these. That would be incredible.
Yeah, I know, but it's like, because I talked about the idea with the like Ready Experiment producer, and he wanted to be longer. They always wanted to be longer when they need to be.
Because they don't have to make it.
Because I just look at it, and then every short on an episode of Monstrum is like 16 minutes.
But that's like After Effects, like Z playing kind of moving panels and stuff, and it's the animations on there aren't stop motion.
Yeah, just like telling the story, right?
It's incredible, but it's just fun. Like people like you who are really enthusiastic about urban legends and like their ghost stories and like the different just kind of the scary things that somehow became folklore. It's seeing your enthusiasm about those things, it just makes me happy to be alive. It just makes life fun. I don't know. Those are the stories that make life fun.
You watch horror stories.
I do. Yeah. I watch them and I laugh. I think they're hilarious. And like, it's so weird. I think horror stories are adorable. I don't know why. I think it's cute. I think it's funny. Like, I'm probably broken, but I think it's like... Like, I'll watch a horror film in the middle of it, I'll start laughing and people think I'm crazy. And it's like, no, it's just, that was funny. I don't know. Anyway, back to you.
I like to learn the culture from that kind of aspect. That's that's really interesting. And also, I hope things goes well. Like, I would love to catch up with how's that going. Just hope everything goes good. Yeah. That's very exciting. Yeah. The potential. You got a lot of potential. Yeah.
Yeah, I really want to start with that. But I don't want it. Because when I watch the horror films, like the feature, I think it's too long. It's like, I have to wait for 1 hour to your point. And I really like the guy who made the Lights Out. It's like 2 minute shorts.
Yeah.
And the 2 minute short is really red on the internet, so he made the feature one. And I still like the 2 minute one.
Yeah, it's enough for 2 minutes, 2 to 3 minutes. It already can tell a story for sure. Or even 90 seconds, you can tell a story for sure. So it depends, right?
It just like cut into your middle life and then something just happens. And I really like that. And I think urban story is like, it will happen. Like anywhere you live, so we call it
a story. I think the idea is cool, though, that your pitch meetings are basically as long as your finished films. Like, here's my pitch. And by the time you're done, you go, well, that would be the whole thing. What do you think? That's awesome.
I think if I really want to pitch it, I think I will have to collect like maybe 10-ish story about that, and so it will be one season, but every story will be like 2 or 3 minutes, so maybe it will be long enough for them to like show it like the series.
What are the chances of you just self-funding, like doing fundraising and putting it out under your own Shadow Step studio?
I think like some of there's a program about like a kind of YouTube too. So they will give you money and you make content for them, but I haven't reached out or do anything yet. Yeah, so I'm not sure for that either, but I heard about they're looking for something in horror stories for the content. And the funny thing in Taiwan is like we have the ghost month.
Yeah, now it's still, right?
Yeah, now it's our ghost month.
Oh, you get a whole month?
Like a cute, Actually, it's a cute thing. It's like, because, how to explain this? It's like we believe all the bad people that want to do bad things, when they go to hell, their throat will be super thin and anything burned when they come to their mouth. So they cannot eat like for the whole year. So they suffer in hell. But this month is like their vacation. They can come to Earth, come to our world, and we will feed them. And this is the only month they can eat. So they can, we just like lots of food, we put it on the table for them. And they just like their vacation.
No, because it's a month of feeding the absolute worst people to die. It's amazing. It's not even like, it's not like like the All Souls Day of like my family's loved ones come back and we wait for them. It's not like, no. It's like the worst people who died. Yeah. They can't eat. Yeah. But they came back and we're like, here's food. Enjoy. That's all. Like, you murdered how many kids? Great. Here's a ham. Like,
oh,
good.
Oh no.
So wait, it's a whole month? Is it? What month is it?
It's a lunar.
Yeah, that's a lunar.
So around July. February? Oh.
Yeah, mid-July, he said.
I think it was started with July 1st, but it's a lunatic
month. That's amazing.
But so it will be different every year. But this, I think it started at August 8th this year. But the next year will be a little bit different.
This is like the best month. It's like
Johnny, it's a creepy month.
we have so many things we cannot do.
Yeah, there are taboos. Yeah. Oh. Johnny, don't be too excited.
Okay, I'll take my.
But like, you cannot go to the sea.
Well, please,
you cannot play water.
You can't go in the water.
Because there's so many things is out right now, so they will pull your feet and drag you in.
That would also be a great animation. See, this is the cutest stuff. This is so, like, I love it. So, like, if you go, I just imagine you go to just swim. You're like, I'm going to go through the river. And then they just pull you down. It's incredible. I love it so much.
It's incredible. It's creepy.
It is creepy. It's creepy. But it's like, here's what, the best part about it is so, oh, wait. So you're feeding them to leave you alone. You're not feeding them because rewarding them. You're like, please go away. Here's some food.
I am not sure. I think kind of. But it's like for blessing too.
Okay.
Yeah, I think for ancestor also.
Yeah.
I like
ancestor,
it.
We fit it all the time.
Whoever started this really loved food. They're like, what's the worst thing that could happen in hell? Mom, you can't eat. Okay. Like, that's amazing. It's so good. It's so good.
That's very important for Taiwanese. You need to eat all the time. So you cannot eat. It's a big punishment.
Eating is very important, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the way we say hello is like, have you eaten yet?
Oh, yeah. Wait, yeah, really?
Yeah, it's what we talk about. It's like, say good morning, good afternoon, or something.
Please tell me more.
We're gonna get back to
animation, I promise. But like, it's so like on the East Coast, like in New York, they have the "Did you eat?" But they say like "G eat yet."
G.
Yeah, they say it like "J-E-E-T," and it means like "Did you eat?" But because they're from New York and have like no time, it's "G."
Did you eat
it? Yeah, "G." And then like if you say no, they ask you if you want to go eat because
something like that.
People love eating. But so it's like a way of saying hello is, have you eaten?
Yeah. It's like if you've eaten, you are fine. Yeah. Because if you got your food, it's like, how are you? If you got your food, you're fine.
That is, I belong there. That's how everyone should say hello to everyone else all the time. Like, because we say, are you okay? And everyone's like, I'm fine. No one means it. But like, if you just ask people, how full are you? They would answer honestly. And it would be like, I get that. Okay. So, The Island of Us and horror films.
I really like when Yuyu is telling about even the horror film and things. It's not just for creepy things. It's not just for the scary moment. But you also...
like describe why or the reason, like that makes the story can linger longer. Like we will remember because of that instead of we just remember we got scared. Yeah, I like it.
Yeah.
There's one question I'm curious is that you feel you naturally is a leader, like since you are a kid, you already become the leader in a class or something, or there is something you get to learn and you grow, you boost your confidence and you remember any moment you feel that you're ready to be a director or ready to lead a project?
Yeah, I think I'm not consider myself as a good director yet, but I'm still working on it. And because I don't really direct too many people right now. Yeah, for my old short, it's only me. And for the island of us, it's like I have two animators and three, including me. Mm. And two of that two animators, they are already my friends. We are like friends before, so I don't consider myself as like really the director or they have to listen to me. So we kind of just discussing the story first and say, I will see how they want about this. And then I will ask them to act it out by themselves because I don't want them to see me like an awkward acting film. That I would know the timing I want and I can edit out for them. But if they act it out by themselves, because we are not like really good actors, but if we act it out by ourselves, we will know where it looks weird, right? So we will fix it in our animation. So I think feel it by yourself is like, it's like an important thing for me. So I think acting by themselves and they will know where it's awkward, they can just like basic well, I think it went well for us.
So yeah. Everyone's shooting their own ref videos?
Yeah, we just like pretend we are the creature, or pretend we are the blue girl.
I want to see that.
And just walk in there.
We're the big one.
And you can see our face is like weird. Yeah, picking a camera or something. Yeah, but the timing and the pose is like great for us. Mm. Yeah, to know where to put our hands down and maybe it's a little bit weird there so we can let her blink. Yeah, I think it helped a lot of animators. But lots of animators are great actors too.
Oh, yeah.
So it's funny. I think Justin Rush acted out really, really good. Yeah, it's like the same thing.
It's,
yeah.
The parkour stuff he does is incredible. And then like you see his reference videos and you're like, well, that's incredible on its own.
Yeah. Yeah, we're not like that, but I think acting out still helps a lot.
Hmm.
Yeah, no matter how weird that look, but you know that is weird and don't you know where it is weird.
Yeah.
So you can fit just just fix it.
So
I see.
How do you do reference videos for like the big, does the big puppet have a name?
I'd call him like Froggy or something.
Froggy?
Froggy.
He looks like a frog.
I like it.
He had a tail.
Yeah, with a very sharp spade tail. Is Frog, so when you're doing ref videos for Froggy, like do you actually just act out the pose and everything and go all for it? Or how do you do that?
I think he got like a big close up all the time. So I think we just do the facial thing.
Okay.
Like do it like an evil smile. Yeah, expression. Like he got this weird smile on his face.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because he's
Yeah.
How about the four legs creatures in the short?
Oh, we do that. I think I got some great reference from turtles walking.
Turtles, okay. Ah,
yeah,
that's nice to know.
Really slow, and it's fit. So it's like, because all other four-legged creatures walk too fast. So I just find some turtles reference, and it went well.
I love that. That's the best answer. Like, all of these are too fast references. Give me some turtles. That's all good. So you have it shot, you're doing the sound the dates for the music and the sound are booked. When do you think you're going to be wrapping up post?
I think actually the post-production for the film-wise is almost done too.
Okay.
We do like color correcting and everything right now. We just like have to wipe it up. So we would do, I think we will start to work on September 1st.
Hmm.
And I want it to be all done at the end of November. Yeah, so I will actually hand it out for DCP or anything in December.
Yeah. Pretend I'm putting on a festival and please send me a copy. I will give you, I'll give you laurels for sure.
Yeah, I will. Okay. I think I will put it on Vimeo and with the code that I can send it to you when I was done.
Yay! Yeah.
Like the Instagram, the updates you put out, it's just, you see them and you instantly just go, it's sad because I want to go finish it so I can watch it. But I know it's a lot of work. So I get it.
I mean, I finished it, but it's like mute. So it's like weird for me to share too much. Yeah, I haven't done the trailer either. I have to figure out how to do the trailer. Like maybe 2 minutes.
Two minutes is quite long.
Yeah.
Like
for the trailer, yeah.
Very informative, feel like. But that's what you. But maybe the pace is quite slow, maybe.
Yeah, because it's an 18 minutes film.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, yeah, maybe 1.5 is long enough.
We'll see. Yeah, later.
You're a director. You're just a really, really good one who doesn't want to boss people around.
Yeah, it's hard to boss people around.
You have very professional and nice friends involved in. Is that a lot of directions or the style or the stories really become a collaborative project? It's not only from yours, it's also combined theirs, and you're open to that.
I'm open to that. It's like but for this short, I just make like the birds. They have lots of it. It's like 7 or 8 of them. So I made one, and my fabricator will make others for me. So it's like one model for them to make. Most of them is like performance wide. Because when they come in, the animators come in, everything is done. I set up the sets, I do the lighting, and they just come in to animate. But sometimes they are just like do something like more than I can imagine. So it's like great, I haven't thought about that, but it's really cute or really creepy, but I like it. Yeah, so I think it's like a more like performance-wise and make it like not exactly the way I want before, but it's better. And sometimes they make it to, I think one of the animator, I Ching, she make clips like really, like the monsters going around and want to eat others. And she make it too long, but I really like it. So I make other parts shorter. So I can keep that performance. So it's like something changing like that I really like.
Yeah. That's such an honor, like, right, Johnny? Right, it's an honor to be kept.
Yeah, it's to like do something, and the person who's in charge of it says, "Oh, yeah, cool. I'll cut some of what I did so that fits." That's really awesome.
Yeah, I guess I can make it look more right. It's like better than a storyboard.
Yeah, that's a saying. Well, a saying. It's something a friend of mine and I were talking about. When we do mock-ups for people with the fake instruments, and then a client will go like, right before we get the real instruments, the client will go, is it going to sound the same? And we're like, no, it won't. It'll sound better. It'll be different and better within reason. But like, yeah, it's like when you bring in other people to do something, they just add something to it that you couldn't possibly have done. And it's just a great feeling. And it's so cool to watch something change out of your control a little bit. It's nice.
It's not right for their studio name, actually, but they call themselves Term Rhinos. Yeah, and they're working on a really cool project. It's like a VR stop motion.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so I go there to be their animation director and animator. I think the festival will make it online.
Mm.
And I don't really know how because it's a VR, but yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
Do you have a headset? Have you already seen it privately?
I see some shots only, not the whole thing. I think the whole thing is like 16 minutes. It's long. Because I have a dizzy things with VR headset, so I cannot like watch the film over 5 minutes with me in VR. So it's like 16 minutes. Like, why do you make it so long?
I can imagine that's a lot of workflow for that, 16 minutes, and even you need to have every angle for that shooting, for the set and characters, everything.
Yeah, that's like they do the smart thing, then like they do the 180 first, and so there's all the performers on the stage, right? 180, it's like six camera turn, like six pictures. And then they will do the background, so that they don't need the animators for the background, the other 180.
Wow.
So it's like only 180 performance. Only, I think only one shot is like actually 360. Mm. Like there's no dead angles for that one. But I think other shots is like the half. So people can see the half. Yeah, horizontally.
I see.
How was it to animate to that? Because you're animating to, with, so you animate and then watch it back played with superimpose, or how are you animating that?
Yeah, it's a tricky thing because, and it's tricky for animators too, because we like to go with our flow, right? We go with our, because we touch a puppet and we go back and then touch it again, and we, some, like, I like it to be like, I don't want the flow to be interrupted. But when the camera turns, you have to wait like 1 or 2 minutes. It's like, okay, I forget what am I doing before. I have to go back and check and say, okay, it's the next move. Because it turn and catch a frame. So it's like you have to wait for it to turn back and stop. Yeah. Sometimes it's stuck in the middle. So you have to reset. And then you forget what your last move is.
How many frames are you shooting a day?
For the VR, I think, let me think. The really hard thing, we have like some shots, it's like so many people in one shot. So for that, the hard one is like maybe 3 or 4 characters per day. We can shoot like maybe 50 per person. We do the crazy shift for that. We do like 3 animators and do 24 hours.
Oh, wow. Marathon.
Yeah. And it doesn't last long because it's like too tiring. And then the director, he do the midnight shift and he is like dying. And then whenever we finish our shift, we have to wake him up and we feel really bad.
Oh, man.
The animators are like, this is nothing. We do this all the time.
But it's not like the long-term plan for a film. Yeah, so we do like 2 shifts a day after crazy 2 months. Yeah.
Wow. So this one is quite different from like just shooting a film, right? Like it sounds like you need to be a couple people, like a crew, to be together in a space at the same time, instead of like you can be alone and to do your work one after another.
Oh, actually you can do it alone. It's like the tech people, they were set up for you and then they were left.
So the camera is auto?
Yeah, they just make it like they were turned by themselves. But we do set up the other like normal camera for us, but the angle is a little bit different because we still want to see it from this, the dragon frame, right?
Hmm.
Yeah.
So we just set up a plan, just the 2D, not 2D, like a film camera angle in one turn for animators. But actually, the angle is a little bit different from the real one, the turning one. So it's like when we see the VR, we're thinking that one is like standing up a little bit tilt, but we didn't notice that before.
It seems like you enjoy doing all the aspects, from the storyboarding to the stage and sets to the character design to the animation. I mean, you prefer to do as many of the aspects as you can, right?
Yes, because I like a little bit about all the pipelines.
Would you be happy producing the entire studio and not animating, or do you want to do, like, if you had an option, would it be doing your own shorts or just producing overall?
I think for sure it is okay for me to do all the things by myself, but when it comes to a longer film, I think I have to, like, let go, like, learning to just let the people to do their job.
That's right. Because you have to finish before January, you said.
The one I have to finish in January is for the next project, Peaching.
Oh, okay.
So it's like the Bible need to be done, like, January. And that one is, like, crazy. It's for feature. So,
oh, wow.
So we definitely need to, like, cooperate with other people.
Yeah.
And, for sure. Yeah, we don't have enough animators right now.
You can hire me. Can fly back to.
Because I think it's like the actual stop motion people in Taiwan is actually doing stop motion for a living. Only like 5 animators is really like I can trust and really good at it. Oh. Others are like fabricators. So it's like if we are really doing a feature, we have like only 5, including the directors. Yeah, and I'm counting back the director of the VR one too. So it's like a director have to do an animator too. So we need 2 more. Yeah, we want to train more people to do animation, but it's like hard.
So you have like 5 people animating and like 20 people making armatures on the side or something?
No, it's like maybe 5 other people were making puppets and sets.
Mm.
So I think it's like a 10-ish, maybe 15.
Do the stop motion animators, like it's called the Elite 5, you guys just call each other on your phones for projects and like you always work together?
Yeah, it's like the fun thing we work together is like we own... Like, I have my own studio, and Term Rhinos, they have their own studio. But they only, like, 2 people in their studio. And my friends, she is, like, we come from the same school, actually. She has her own studio, too. So we got the bigger project we can handle by ourselves. We will just, like, call other people from other studios and let's work together, yeah. It's like when there's the animator, they will come to the stage, come to our stage. If it is my project, they will come to my studio. But others, like fabricators, I trust them, so I just give them the design. And then when they finish it at their place, and they will just send it to me.
So would you consider hiring people back from when you were in LA?
I think... I would love to, but it's like we need a budget because I want them to live properly in Taiwan and it's like away from their friends and family. So it's like a big promise.
Yeah.
Maybe 2 or 3 months they will be okay. But it's like I want them to live in a nice place and maybe hang out every week to go around like a tourist. So it's like, I don't know, if we do have a really big funding for our next feature, maybe it's a nice thing to do.
Yes, I hope that goes well. And I also hope like a Taiwanese stop motion group can like grow bigger and bigger and more professionally. Like everyone can help each other. That would be nice.
Yeah, I think that's one of the reasons why I want to teach in college. I think I can meet some people who is really interested in stop motion. They're not graduating yet.
So you started to teach just so you could recruit them out of the school?
Yeah, a little bit.
That's very helpful, actually.
So if any of your students graduate, they'll know they're not the good ones. You stole
the good ones. But it's like, I think it's like the passion ones and the one who is not interested.
Oh, I see. So is that like the island of us? Is there some of your team members are actually you found from your student?
Oh, yes, like most of them are my friends, but I do have two interns who are my students. But they were for me for like fabrication for 1 week, and I found out they don't really interested in this.
In fabrication?
In stop motion.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because they think it's fun to do things, and that's it. Mm. They don't really want to think about other things, like a film-wise and animation-wise, because they're from the television and radio program. So I think they should just, like, go to explore more, like, what they really want to do. Because one of them, she's really special. She's a rap singer, and she writes her own songs. I think just do what you do. Don't come here, like, wasting your time if you think that is not exactly what you do in the future. Yeah.
I see.
She can animate her own videos.
I know, is what I told her, but I think she just like do the live action films and music videos. Yeah.
Usually, how you promote your work or your personal project is from Instagram. Is there anywhere else, or you especially like the format from Instagram?
I think you can just like post like a really short clips, so you don't have to worry about I have to update the whole thing in my website. Yeah, and I don't really use Facebook right now. I keep it because I can still keep some people there. But I don't know. But I think a post from Facebook, it just keep going down and it's hard to find for me. So I think Instagram is like the best for me right now. For now.
Clients, they come from Instagram. Is that a lot of sources also from that art board you have?
I only have one or two clients from actually strangers from the Instagram, because other clients, they are, I won't say it, but they are too old for that. They don't know what it is. They're not using it. It just heard from my other friends that someone is doing it. Yeah, so it just like, it depends on the people you met.
They don't have to use Instagram. As long as they use money, it's okay.
Sometimes it's message from Instagram is like a little bit weird. I got like some hello. It's like, I like your work, I want to work with you. I say, hi, who are you? Because their names are not their real name, right?
Yeah.
And they haven't submitted any clues and who they are and were like proper introduction.
Like, that's great. Do I want to work with you? Instagram can be, I like it, but it can be weird. And it's weird that, like, I'm not that famous or popular, but like when I post stuff, I the interactions, like, cause you could see how many people have even seen the post at all. And it's far lower than the actual number of people who follow you.
Well, yeah, I'm not really understand that either. Because at first I have Instagram because I know I'm going to left. Lab LA, and I want to keep in touch with all my friends and the people I met in stop motion industry. So we just follow each other, and then I just keep posting my work because I want them to know I'm still doing it and I'm still alive. Because I'm not the people that post my daily life picture all the time. I don't feel comfortable for that. So I post my works instead. So I haven't really thought about how to increase my followers yet. Sometimes it is confusing because I think I post, this is a great a work in progress or something, then people don't like it and think, okay.
They just don't get it. Or they have, you know, I think they haven't seen it yet, because if anyone sees the post you do, then they don't click on the little heart, they're silly.
Oh.
Like it's, I think they just haven't seen the post if they don't like it, because the stuff is too good to not like. They would be a broken human. They would be in hell for 11 months of the year with a tiny throat if they don't like your posts.
Yeah, so we can fit them in July.
Yeah. Exactly.
You know, the funny thing is, it's really not too many people doing stop motion in Taiwan. So if someone wants a stop motion project, it will come to you anyway. At some point, and we all know each other, so it's like maybe like rhinos, they cannot take it or they don't want to take it, it will pass down to us. Yeah.
Wow.
And then if I can do it, I'll pass down to my friends too. So it's like a circle, it will never get out.
So if four of you don't want to do something, then the fifth person is like, fine.
Or the thing is, because some of them, it's like asking too much and the budget is low, so they don't really have to take it.
Mm.
And if they take it, it is bad for everyone too.
Right.
Yeah, so it's like, it is a good thing that we all know each other and we kind of have our small unit. So, yeah.
Do you ever like text each other, go, hey, watch out for this person, they're trying to do this?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Like all the time.
That is true. So there are people who are like banned from the stop motion community. They can't hire any of you because you're all like, no.
Because, yeah, we're aware that they're opening their names. Because we have like one project, it's really hard. We have to animate it on stage, on their stage. And it's like everyone's staring at you because they usually do live action. They thought it's the same thing. So they make a stage at you, and the client just sit behind you and watching you animating like 10 hours a day.
They're psychotic.
And they would, yeah, and they would just go in and say, that pose just doesn't right. It's like, it's a flow. Oh, it's like, yeah, it's like, you cannot just change one frame. So that, those people are definitely who we are blocking. And the producer is really bad because we are like whole group, or I think it's four girls on that project, including me. And he just like keep coming and kind of harassing us.
Mm.
It's like, asking some weird question. It's not like sexual harassing yet, but you know it is going that way. Yeah, it's really, really bad.
May I know if that... there's somewhere, if there is really a good client and they really love what you are making, they like your art, they like your vision, how do they contact you properly?
Oh, I think I left my working email on my Instagram, so they can contact me there.
Okay.
It's just uustumble and Gmail.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I'll get it. Yeah.
Let's get everyone in the world to hire you for all of the 2-minute shorts you want to make. That'd be a cutoff. Yeah. Like 121 seconds? No. I won't do it.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
It's like, if people are okay working from remote, I think it'll be fine too. It would be interesting to take some projects from United States again.
Okay.
Yeah.
Audience!
Okay, you still talk to a lot of people from USC? Your old classmates, and I mean, I'm guessing you met everybody out here from all the studios when you were here.
Oh, yeah, some of them, yes.
Hmm.
But it's really hard for some of people work in remote because it's far away and you need another time difference. So it's like, if I make something for them, I have to mail them like across the oceans. It's too much work.
Do you have the question to answer from the last person?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Where do you find your collaborations come from the most? Work, friends, acquaintances, etc.?
Oh, yeah, I think I already answered that. It's like... because I work at stop motion industry for two years, just after I graduated from my undergrad. So I just started to meet people there. So I still have my connection when I meet from there. They are all excited. I'm going first and start this demotion. So they are kind of a little bit pressuring, like, are you coming back yet? Yeah, that's one of the reasons I know I'm going to go home, even I like LA a lot. And the other reason is like for family and my husband. Yeah, no, my boyfriend at that time. Yeah, we are like long distance for a long time.
Oh,
yeah, so there's so many reasons to go home. Yeah,
that's awesome. That's really cool. And don't forget, you steal students that you don't let them graduate. You just steal them right out of school.
Yeah.
That someday you will be folklore. You'll be like the student thief. You'll wear a yellow raincoat and go around with these little felt animals that follow you everywhere, and you just steal students so they can't graduate.
This sounds so creepy.
It's perfectly creepy. And look at everyone smiling and laughing. See, that's, I told you, it's always creepy stuff is adorable. So what question would you have for the next animator?
What is the most thing you want to make next?
Okay.
That's a great question.
Like any, just what, if you could make one thing next that was anything you wanted, what would it be?
Yeah.
Okay.
It is hard because I think I see something like a really fun meme on internet. It's like a girl and a guy holding a girl, and but he is still looking at another girl. But the girl, the girlfriend next to him, he's holding is the project you're working on right now.
Right.
And the other girl is on the project.
Yeah, it's that one meme of the guy just doing that one.
Yeah, yeah. But it's like project, you know, other project you want to do, but you're still working on it right now. So I think it's a question.
Did you see that there's a bunch of stock photos and she's in several of them and she's always making that face? So the one who plays the girlfriend in that stock photo, there's other stock photos at like an office and she's like, it's like completely different situations and she's making the same face in all of them. And I'm like, what is happening with this actor?
That's just cool. Like close and past of that picture.
Like she knows her strengths. Like, I can do this look and this look and that's it. And then just take stock photos. And you know what? They got used. So good for her.
Yeah.
Clap, clap.
So now, the last part, you have the end of the episode.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Have to find a way to end it.
However you want.
There's an ancient way from Iceland to say happily ever after they tell the story. So it's that cat is out from the swamp, lived his tail, and the adventure is finished.
The cat is out of the swamp?
Out of the swamp.
With it?
Lives this tail.
Okay.
And the adventure is over.
What is going on with their cats? Why are they in swamp?
I don't know. I have no idea, but it's like a cute way to say
it. Yu Yu? That's amazing.
Yeah.